Hey everybody, it's Blake.
And this is Drew.
And you're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Welcome to episode 94 of the podcast. Let me bust through our social media preamble real quick. We can get to the gaming part, which I'm guessing people come here for, or you've heard the intro song and you've already stopped listening.
That's fair.
You can find us on all social media platforms just by searching the podcast name. There you can keep track of the comings and goings of the podcast. Most importantly, we want people to come to our Twitch streams with our cousin, / podcast editor Brian. We have a lot of fun there. Follow us there and, you know, drop in when we go live, and that way you can get some context for the episodes we do with him. Follow us at twitch.tv/twosmokingcontrollers. And lastly, we do have a store and Patreon page. Both of those really, you get a little bit of something for yourself, but those are just to support the cost of maintaining the podcast. Like we say, just general maintaining and paying Devious for art. Links to all of this stuff can be found in the show notes in case typing our podcast name into your social media is too long, which we understand.
Mm-hmm.
This episode continues along our quest to check boxes on games that Blake wrote notes on maybe a long time ago. I don't know how long ago we played these two games. These are two co-op games that we played before we were playing games with Brian, back in the good old days, we call it, the before times. We may not remember these games entirely 100%, but that's okay. We're going to talk about what memories we do have of them, and we'll just kind of roll from there. This is more just, like you said, like last episode, I don't know if we worded it right, but we're kind of just cleaning up a bit of old stuff before we move into the newer things we're going to do, like for the when we switch. I keep saying switch. We're kind of the same stuff. We're kind of updating our format a little bit after episode 100, so we're trying to just work out some old stuff. But you don't want to feel like you wasted time writing notes for who knows how many...
A couple of
games we've played over the years. It's just games that just kind of fail. Like, what would happen is we'd play a bunch of games when he'd take notes, but we'd play something we liked more, and these other games would kind of fall. Some of these games ain't even bad. They're not even bad games. They just kind of get taken over by something we played more recently, and we get excited and talk about something more recently, and these keep falling further and further back. So that's kind of where we are. That's what we're going to keep doing until we get to episode 100 or 101 or however it is we figure out we want to do it. So with all that business taken care of, we're going to get into the first of two games we have. As we said, we have two co-op games, both kind of silly in their own right, but I'll let Blake go ahead and get into the first one.
The first game we'll be talking about, it's called Totally Reliable Delivery Service. Originally came out April 1st, 2020.
So was it supposed to be?
I think it's because it's a joke game as it is. So I'm pretty sure they launched it on there as a why not, hee hee ha ha. It is developed by We're 5 Games.
Like we're 5 years old.
We're 5 Games. It is just two people, a gentleman named Kyle and a gentleman named Brent, and they started the company in 2012.
Their first game?
A second. The first one was I don't even know how you call it. They say it's their first game, called Arlo's Adventure, and it was a retro platformer about a brave wizard. And then once they realized how much they loved that, they wanted to pivot to full-time game developing, but they've only put out one game themselves. They have done a lot of freelance work for several other pretty awesome things, actually. Stuff that they've worked on freelance. I couldn't... They just said they worked freelance on these games. They didn't go into details about what they actually did. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. It says they... Before they... Like, they made that first game, Arlo, and then they found their niche making a bunch of video game development starter kits. I'm not entirely sure what that entails, but they made it specifically for the Unity Asset Store. And these kits provided, like, code, art, random assets. Basically, it almost feels like it was, like, video game maker, like RPG maker, but it was all just, like, here's a starter kit to try to make your first video game to help people.
Yeah.
And that was, like I said, that was in 2012, and they put out Arlo's Adventure and then put a bunch of these starter kits. And in 2014...
You didn't recognize like, any of the art or anything for Arlo's Adventure, did you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
I didn't.
I wonder if it was something we'd seen in passing and just not got it, because it was a side-scrolling something or other.
Yeah, one cool thing, I'm going to go through a couple of the games they helped. In 2014, a company called Crescent Moon Games reached out to them for... support, because they're like, hey, hire us, we're freelance. Crescent Moon Games are the people who are responsible for The Deer God, so they actually
that,
helped
that we have played,
so they actually helped, and they were a part of making it as well as like the Kickstarter and stuff, and they say that they were, you know,
so they helped with Deer God, the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a game we was long before the podcast. It was very strange, and it wasn't somewhat random at a certain point, so it was kind of hard to get all the achievements in.
Yeah, it got wonky.
You just walk to the right, and it kind of maybe it randomly generated what was coming next after a certain extent. I don't know. It was a very strange game.
But I mean, I think Dear God was very well received.
Was it? That was an early Xbox One, I think.
I believe so.
I mean, you ain't got notes for Dear God. I'm saying I remember playing Dear God,
and it was I think it launched
nothing like Deer Simulator. It was like a side-scrolling adventure thing.
Yeah, I think it launched on Games with Gold. It talks about that it launched on Games with Gold, so it was pretty cool. Since then, they've actually worked on two other games for Crescent Moon. One called Morphite, and the other one called Hammer Bomb.
Haven't heard of either one of them?
Not really. Me either. Now, in 2016 is when they actually changed their name to Weir 5 Games, as opposed to just whatever their name was before. I think it was called Cinpot Studios. Cinopt. Yeah. That's what they were originally, but barely. Now, in 2016, when they changed their name to Weir 5 Games, because they have a 5-year-old sense of humor, is literally why they did it. And then that's when they put out their first official game under their this particular moniker. And it is a physics-based multiplayer delivery simulator based around being terrible delivery people.
Yeah.
It's literally the whole point. You're meant to be awful.
Yeah, but we'll get into kind of why that is here in a minute.
And just recently, in 2021, they were actually acquired by Tiny Build.
I know that name from something.
And they're going to continue to develop games for the Totally Reliable franchise. So now they have like totally, they've dropped like jokes as like totally reliable swimming instructor, totally reliable delivery service, totally reliable astronauts and stuff like that. So I think they're going to have fun, but it might be oversaturation. But I think hopefully it might just be just DLC packs, because the game does have two DLCs. So maybe they'll just keep doing that. I don't know. You have anything you want to add so far, Drew?
No, because you're doing the developer. I don't know anything about them.
Okay, yeah. They did work on... I was looking at the two games, Morphite and Hammer Bomb. Hammer Bomb just seems to be a first person dungeon crawler for mobile only. Mm-hmm. One of those little ones. And then the Morphite is a first person atmospheric shooter similar to that of No Man's Sky, but at an even lower poly rate. Polygons.
Really?
Couldn't think of the word. I said polygrams, and that was not right.
Wow.
But at a lower polygon rate, or what, is that even the right term? I'm stupid.
I don't know what you're saying. But I don't know how a team as small as them could make anything like No Man's Sky.
No, but it's in the vein of like where
space
you're
exploration.
Yeah, they call it FPS atmospheric explorer.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they said the two dudes are based out of Minneapolis. That's kind of really about it.
Yep. So the game.
Yeah, so the game
is a 3D, it's definitely open world, 3D open world. It kind of looks like I don't know if it's more famous. Not what is that game? We all played it here at the house together. We're just fighting, falling off of stuff.
Gang Beasts.
Gang Beasts.
Or that's what's that stupid thing everyone plays?
Fall Guys.
I think it's Fall Guys.
Yeah, it might play. It kind of looks like not as good, maybe, as the, like the character models don't look as good as Fall Guys, but it just has this weird kind of like the Mobile toys, maybe.
Yeah, Mobile kind of looks like
if people know Mobile toys from when they were kids or have kids that have Mobile toys, the characters look kind of like Mobile, kind of lightly detailed vehicles and stuff like that. But I guess you would call it quote unquote charm of the graphics might quickly wear off when you first get control of your character. I think that's the whole thing about this game, and probably why we'll say we didn't do everything in this game, because the game is very irritating because it has really bad controls on purpose, because they think that's funny for a 5-year-old, I guess.
It's these, absolutely, like, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it for a while, like, it was fun, and then you're like, I'm actually trying to do something, and it is so difficult to do this thing, because even your guy, there's another game we kind of played that, like...
Fall Guys.
Yeah. Maybe.
Not Fall Guys. What was the other one? Oh my god, I'm blanking.
What, Gang Beasts? Or
no, before that, we played another game that where you have to grab onto stuff and pull yourself up. Human Fall Flat.
Human Fall Flat.
That's a better comparison.
Yeah. Human Fall Flat's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, this is more along the controls and the messiness of Human Fall Flat.
Because you have the right bumper and left bumper are your hands, and so you can like throw your body up and around.
That's I don't know what the controls are exactly. I don't remember what the controls are in this, but I know they're as messed up and unintuitive as they can be, and I feel like a lot of that's on purpose. Like, they knew it, like, from the description of the developers, like, they knew they were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make it not easy to do anything so that you crash and fall and laugh. Now, granted...
We did.
Perfectly, for a little bit, but we perfectly understand this game's not for us. So we're going to say bad things about it, but keep that with hold that with a grain of salt, that maybe you have a kid that will really love to run around in this little world and just fall down and deliver boxes and crash a helicopter by flying sideways because you can't fly. Because the controlling vehicles is also done by, like, you have to, like, do the grab button. Like, I saw, we have a video playing in the background to help us remember some of this stuff, but, like, I remember that you grab a... got to a little car and he grabs the stick and have to use the controls of the arm to like drive the vehicle, so it makes driving and flying and everything else you do really, really, really messy.
It's a little rough, to say the least. And there's quite a few vehicles you get to go through.
Oh yeah, tons of vehicles.
You got, you know, your standard stuff, you got trucks, and that's kind of it for the standard stuff. Because then it gets wacky, like, on purpose. There's, like, just these ridiculously hard-to-control vehicles that are outlandish.
Yeah, well, I don't think anything's outlandish. It's all pretty normal stuff. It's just harder to...
I mean, yeah, sure.
I do remember trying to fly the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
And it's maybe you can learn how to fly it. I don't know. But I couldn't even get it to go up, probably, you know, most likely, and get it to go sideways and just crash immediately.
Because some of the sillier stuff is you have, simple stuff. Let me see. Some of the more simple stuff. Pickup truck and a buggy. Mm-hmm. Super easy to handle. And then you have a belt loader. For those who don't know what a belt loader is, it's something, like, you've probably seen them at, like, airports. They're little trucks that have a conveyor belt on the back that throw freight and not necessarily throw, but they move it to the back of the truck easier for people. A belt loader. Then you get a helicopter, a rocket booster, a mule, a speedboat, and a UFO.
I never saw a UFO. And then something that looks really annoying in the video we're watching right now is there's ghosts chasing him, which I don't remember ever seeing ghosts.
Probably just a particular part of this area.
But when the ghost touch him, he falls down and gets stunned. So he's constantly getting chased by things that want to stun him, which is so annoying.
It must be the ghosts of deliveries past or something. Sorry, I'm going to get distracted. Like I said earlier, the game itself does have two DLCs. And I think that's pretty cool, because the game itself is rather large. I'm looking at a map. Like, it's got a pretty big world map, in case you don't. Like, it's got several islands, like 3 or 4 islands.
Yeah, the problem is just getting to any of them, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Like, finding reliable way to get to any of them.
And, of course, because they are, like they said, we're 5, because they have the sense of humor of 5-year-olds, there is a space program in the game called GASA. Which it's NASA, but you use farts to fly.
It's funny, I guess.
It's stupid and silly. And then, like they said, the two DLC things, one's called Stunt Sets, and it's just, you know, you get in some cars and you do stunts. There weren't a whole lot of deliveries or anything over there, but it was just doing stunts, quite literally.
If we had these ghosts, I would have quit in the first 10 minutes.
I don't know how those ghosts be in there.
Like, they are, like, repeatedly knocking this guy down. Like, he stands up and they knock him back down again. He gets in the car, they knock him out of the car. He's sent, I mean, it is constant.
Maybe that's something. I don't remember. I didn't see anything about ghosts.
I don't remember even seeing the ghost. I would have quit much sooner. I don't know how that's supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm. But, and the other DLC besides the stunt sets is Cyberpunk DLC, which I'm guessing was inspired by Cyberpunk. Easy enough. I wonder
if they made that before the Rocky release of Cyberpunk.
I'm not entirely sure. I was looking into my notes on this. I did play this game 2 years ago. 2 years ago is when I did.
We played it together. Because you can do up to, I think, 4-player co-op. Mm-hmm. I think we just did us. Ryan will be glad we didn't drag him into this one.
I think so. Now, because I played in January 2021 is when I played this. A year after it came out.
Yeah. I got the same thing. 2 hours and 40 minutes. Nine of the 27 achievements. We definitely quit this.
Yeah.
I mean, I say, I don't know what more to say about this game. We brought it up because it's in Blake's notes. And
it is fun and it is silly, but it is so difficult to control. I can't stress that enough. And we only played, honestly, for like, what? I think two days over the course of a weekend or something.
I've only got 2.5 hours on my thing, 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Mine didn't even show me a time, but I got half the achievements of the base game, not counting DLCs and updates. Got
half the achievements?
It says I got 52% of the achievements.
Did you play? You must have played some time without me then.
It says I got 13 out of 27.
Yeah, you must have did some stuff without me. Oh, freaking ghost, man.
Yeah, watching this gameplay is annoying. I'm glad we, because I was thinking about, I think it's still on Game Pass, if I'm not mistaken. I was like, maybe we should pick it back up and try to polish off some of these achievements. But if that ghost is in there 24/7, I'm not touching this thing with a 10-foot pole.
It's daytime and got ghosts everywhere.
I mean, the good news is it looks like to be ghosts of deliveries past. The homeboy's wearing the what do you call that? A back brace.
I guess I have no idea, but it's crazy.
Do you have any memories of this game?
Mostly. The bad controls and I remember the helicopter. That's really all I have.
I remember speedboating to other islands and then like drowning and having to restart at the island I was on.
Did you actually get on a speedboat?
I remember going to the NASA place because I got an achievement for it.
You must have played this sometime with one day without me or something.
I don't think I did. I think we just played it all together. Yeah, visit the GASA research facility. Pass gas on a biplane. Find a tiny island. Lose your pants in a tornado.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do all that. I only got 7 achievements.
Mm-hmm.
You got double my achievements. So there's no way if we were playing together, we would have. I may have gotten mad before you and quit, and you probably thought you'll go back to it. Maybe
that's a possibility. I can be a little bit more forgiving at times. I wish I had more to say about the game, but like I said, we only played it for over the course of a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, if you have a kid or something you want to hang out, yeah. I think y'all could have fun with this. You know, play it for a few hours, and like I said, I'm looking at it right now, it is on Game Pass still.
Still is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So feel free to hop on around Game Pass.
We must have been looking for co-op stuff to play.
Mm-hmm.
Just stumbled into this.
And it's normally $15, which I can see you getting that amount of fun out of it. $15 worth, especially with a kid. But playing by yourself, I think, would be really boring. This is something you want to play with people, mm-hmm. a few other folk, and have a good time with, hopefully. I'm sorry that was so fast, but I honestly, I took notes for it. My notes are incredibly short as well, but I thought it was pretty cool talking about the developer, to the very least, that they're going on to help other people and they're still going to continue.
Yeah, sometimes the developer's more interesting than the games they make, and we come across that sometimes. I mean, developing games is hard, but I don't understand. I mean, besides trying, and I don't like to say it, but like developing a game with purposefully bad controls in an effort to get your game, to get YouTubers or something to play your game kind of seems like the gist of some of this stuff sometimes.
Yeah, like you like.
And I'm not for that. Like, hopefully our game will become a meme. Now, I don't know if that was their thought process, but on purposely bad controls just to get people to fall down and crap like that. I mean, it's worked.
It's worked.
It works.
It's sometimes. Still working.
Nobody's talking about this game, but I don't know. It's very strange. I just don't like this kind of stuff. And again, it's not for. Again, we're rambling now. But it's not for us. I mean, small kids. My kid never played it. He's never even heard of it, and he finds all kinds of weird nonsense on YouTube. He's never even mentioned this game.
Yeah.
So
I wish them luck in all their future endeavors, and we'll see if they do next.
You want to move on to the next game?
Yeah.
The next game we actually played through the whole campaign for.
So the next game we're talking about is called Moving Out. And it, too, originally came out April 28th, 2020. Well, not, it came out in April 2020, not necessarily the same date as April 1st.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can tell by the name, it's a removing stuff. We put these two games together on purpose. That wasn't an accident. They're both similarly themed, but very different games.
Now, this is actually like co-developed by two separate teams. There's the Swedish team, Dev M Games, and this is their first console game. And then there's the Australian SMG Studios. Now, Dev M, they've made 27 games, all of which are mobile or browser-based.
Honestly, probably a bunch of garbage.
The one that seemed to have the most notoriety was called Extreme Forklifting. And it was a race thing, as well as like a, basically, what do you call it? It was like Burnout Ultimate Destruction or whatever, but with forklifts.
Yeah.
With racing and how fast can you load up this straight truck and load up this tractor trailer and stuff.
Well, that's what they made that because of like their Shenmue fans or something.
It's a possibility. And then with their, I think these guys had the, these guys are actually have a little bit, I say a little bit more, but not as much to say about. But SMG, the Australian company, they are much smaller, but they have 40 employees and 3 locations, which I think is pretty crazy. And of their 40 employees, I guess they're just kind of like, what do you call it, multinational? Because they have 23 people who work out of Sydney, 13 people that work out of Melbourne, and then 4 that work out of LA. Which is, but the majority of the company is in Australia. And I think everyone just works from home, I guess.
I wonder how they found the 4 people in LA.
Who knows, maybe they moved there.
With job postings, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And now a lot of their stuff seems to have been also mobile only. And some of the, but the big ones that stand out, of their 10 games, you have this one, Moving Out. And then in 2017, they have one called Death Squared, which I think you've probably seen. You recognize the cover art?
Yeah, I've seen it somewhere. Probably seen it on Game Pass or something.
Yeah. And so they've, Death Squared was like a line dash jump simulator type situation with squares. It was,
yeah.
I don't really,
I remember that. I've seen the art, but I feel like we haven't played it because we looked at a screenshot or trailer and decided not to even touch it.
Yeah, exactly. Now this game also, let's see, anything kind of interesting to say about them? Well, one kind of cool thing is they were one of the 10 companies that received special funding from Australia. They, I guess Australia's movie making industry is trying to expand into other businesses.
Yeah.
And they're one of the 10 companies back when they started in 2013 as to receive funding as startup to help try to increase Australia's thumbprint on different industries, different entertainment industries, rather, that involve screens.
You'll see it. Like Canada has that kind of stuff, too. I feel like you'll see, like, this film was helped financially or something like that. We're financed with the help of so-and-so with Canadian Association. I think we've seen a couple of Australian movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of, yeah. But that, yeah, it's just called the Screen Australia's Game Enterprise, and they wanted to help try to fund anything, games, things that have screens, basically. I think that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Now, we're going to move on to the game itself, the actual Moving Out. It is co-op, but as far as I can tell, it's only couch co-op. So we both played this on the bigger screen out in the living room. And it had accessibility features. One, it was just called like assist mode, which basically playing the game on like super easy. So like, you can increase your grip strength and stuff like that. So
that was what it did? I don't remember having accessibility.
We had an assist mode, which I don't guess necessarily
existed. Maybe it just made things where you chucked them at, like they flew more to. I don't know what it did actually. I don't remember.
I just know that we played on it.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll turn them on.
We turn on anything to make the game easier. Now, it does have a really kind of funny, I can't think of the word, like a video intro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, played a minute ago.
Yeah, it's a little video intro. It looks like it's like the someone recorded over a wedding tape, and they give you have the intro for working for this company, smooth moves moving movers, mm-hmm. And you have to go through a whole tutorial training to get your stuff to become a furniture. What do you call it? A furniture arrangement relocation technician, aka. A fart, because everyone loves farts. They're hilarious and people enjoy them, especially letting them go. You know, when you love something, you let it go, right? And if it loves you, it'll come back, and they always come back.
Do your farts come back?
I mean, they come back to your nose.
Okay.
And you gotta share the love. Anyway, basically, the whole point of Moving Out, if you can't tell already, is you're moving out of houses and businesses, but in the vein of totally reliable delivery service, it doesn't. This stuff can't get damaged. Yeah. Like,
and we'll let it say this game actually controls a lot better, and you're actually doing what we like a top down view. You're not like, this is a 3D game. You're running the little map. You're like looking down, like that's what we see now, like at a house, and you can run in and out of all the doors. But you have like the analog stick. It's just analog stick running, so you actually have control. You actually have actual control where your guy is going. And you have to grab the furniture, drag it out, and like throw it into the back of the moving truck as fast as you can. I forgot about the game being timed.
The time limit was fairly forgiving, and that's only if you want the gold medal, because you get gold, silver, and bronze, and there's an achievement for getting gold in all levels, which we didn't do. I don't know if we did
all the levels.
There's 30 levels. We did all of them, and I know that near the
DLC or something.
Yeah, I do know near the end we were kind of just like, I'm ready for this to be over with. It was a little long.
Maybe too many levels.
Yeah, and it does have like a world map sort of.
You get to drive a little truck around and run into other cars. It doesn't do anything, but you can run the other little cars around the map off the road and stuff like that.
And each of the, because it's 30 levels, and each of the 30 levels, well, not each, but there's collectibles in all the levels. You have some hidden objects, of which there are three in each level.
You just got to find them, you got to throw them into the back of the truck.
You just have to find them. They're little hidden objects. You can't. They're not part of the move itself. You just have to find them. There's also, what do you call it? Each level has a hidden console, which, like, I think it's just a hidden video game console, and it has all of them throughout, but they're called, some, you know, just like a parody of what the actual console would be called. There's 13 toilets you gotta find, 10 mailboxes, and 5 pets, just spread out through random different levels.
You gotta grab them or something?
Yeah, you just have to come across them, but they're hidden.
Or slap them?
Yeah.
How is the toilets and mailboxes hidden?
They just are. Sometimes hidden inside freight, it's packages itself. And it's, like I said, it was fun, but a little long. According to my, I didn't get the 1K in this by any stretch of the imagination. But I did get, of the 38 achievements in the base game, I got 15.
I got 16, so
Well, I hate you, so.
Yeah, 6.5 hours, 16 of the 38 achievements. We must have did like the main run through, and then didn't do anything else.
Because there's 26 achievements in base game, and then there's a DLC that came with 12 other achievements.
We weren't doing the collectibles and stuff, apparently.
No.
Slap every mailbox in the story levels. We must have not even known that there was all this stuff.
Well, I don't think there was a guide. I think we were just planning to have fun.
Yeah.
And we were trying to have fun, and then we realized, there's time things, and there's a bunch of other stuff, and we're just like, ugh. But the funny thing is, now there is a guide for the game, but it has since left Game Pass, and it tends to go for $25, and that seems a bit much, but there's a lot to do in the game, so.
Well, 25 seems really steep for a little game.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do... Like you said, like talk about the gameplay a bit more. Is really you have a truck parked outside of a house, and you run inside the house, jumping through windows or finding whatever way you want to get into the house, and grabbing objects and trying your best to drag them out to the truck as fast as you can. It does work probably better in co-op. We have a video playing in the background. It's a person playing by themselves, and that looks difficult to say the least.
Oh yeah,
them playing by themselves. I'm kind of glad we played it together. I mean, it must have been entertaining enough for us to play through the whole campaign, because we did the whole thing. I remember it dragging, dragging furniture, dragging in the end. So
yeah, because it's funny in because you can do whatever you have to do to move. You can. There is no
repercussions
for, because like, you can literally smash the windows and throw furniture and stuff out of windows into the truck if it's parked close enough. You can destroy their bushes, their trees, their fence, the front door. You can break stuff off, as long as it's not, because you can't damage anything when it comes to the actual furniture that you're moving, and you just move it all out. And you're not moving everything, really. You're moving a bunch of stuff, but the game,
just highlighted.
It gives you like a little intro scroll, I guess, where it pans over, or I guess an intro pan, where it pans over everything that you're moving, and it just pings everything that you have to move.
You have a count at the top of the screen.
Yeah, and it does make it a lot easier with people, because we were able to chuck stuff out the second story window and stuff like that. And of course, grab all the, you know, but it all has to fit into the, doesn't matter how it fits in there, but it has, nothing can be hanging outside of the area.
It's a bit of a puzzle element to it. The truck's always big enough, everything. You got to figure out which stuff you want to put in there, the right order and stuff like that. But I don't remember that ever being too much of a problem. The truck's usually big enough for everything you're throwing in there.
I do know that we went through some of these that seemed difficult, but we managed to get, I think we were going to do a cleanup, but then there wasn't a guide at the time. And we're like, oh, I don't feel like clicking on every single thing and going through it. I think we had fun. Let's leave it at us having fun and not get too tired of it. Two of the achievements that we did get, though, there's this one called Nick of Time, and it's finish a level with 5 seconds to spare.
5 seconds to the gold or 5 seconds period?
Five seconds left, I think, of the whole time.
So that means we did really bad.
No, I think we sat there on purpose, maybe.
For the achievement?
Probably. Because then there's another one that's do a whole move in less than a minute.
See, a guide would have to do specific levels and stuff like that.
But we actually got both of these, which I think is kind of crazy.
Oh, okay. Must be like a small level somewhere we don't remember doing.
Yeah, right here. Beat a level of story mode with under 5 seconds left on the clock. And then smashing a bunch of windows, all the story modes. Beat a level in under a minute. Now, the game does get ridiculous because it starts out in a base world, you know, just like a little city, and you're moving from businesses and so on and so forth. But then you go up to like the warehouse factory setting, and it changes. So we're going into like a building, but then the floor is covered in lava because you're Yeah, you don't remember that?
I remember maybe factory stuff. I don't remember any of the floor being covered.
Not necessarily. It kills you instantly, but the floor is glowing red. And I think it's lava, if I'm not mistaken. Or molten guava, I think it was. It did some sort of silly little pun. And then I think in that one, and the warehouse facilities, there was one of the funnier things was a flamethrower factory. We had to try to run through all these like corridors of flamethrowers and bring all the furniture from inside to the outside.
That's weird. I remember that.
Probably one of the more unique ones, however, was one called The Chase. You're in one moving van. And on the other side of the street is another one, and y'all are driving down the street at the same time doing this, but your truck's about
chucking
to...
chucking stuff at the other...
Yeah, your truck's at speed. Your truck's about to blow up, and so you have to chuck everything out of your van into the one across the street. that one was pretty intense.
I remember that.
And
fun. Yeah.
I like that. And then once you kind of do all of these, I think it's the last five levels, you end up going to outer space. Like to the moon, to like Space Station Alpha, Space Station Beta, Space Dumpster, and then like the actual moon. And I enjoyed this a lot more than I think I did totally, because we beat it. I think we spent I think my game time was like 8 hours, a little less maybe.
What did I say a minute ago?
I don't know what you said.
6.5.
Yeah, so we played. So mine's probably about 6. I was guessing, because mine for whatever reason isn't showing my time on this. It must have been some weird. Because I've wrote down. I was like, I think we played it for 8 hours. We played it over the course of a weekend too.
Yeah, well, 6 hours is a lot for one weekend. We had to have played it multiple.
Yeah, true.
Different things.
Do you have anything you want to add?
Not that I remember. That's what we get for trying to make a podcast about games we hadn't played in a long time. Is trying to remember. My brain's so full of all the games we're playing now.
Yeah. No, because the game and some of like the obstacles, like I said, I mentioned fire earlier and the lava floors. There's also like a bunch of, I think one of the places you had to go to was like a Pac-Man spoof, and you had to go through and avoid ghosts, but it was just in that level. And there's an achievement for like smacking all the ghosts and stuff. You smack them to make them calm down and chill. And then what was the other one? Oh god, I do remember laughing hysterically at this a couple of times. Is as you're running around like backyards and stuff, you'll step on rakes. And thwack yourself. Really? Oh, yeah. Rakes and shovels. And I think you could get caught up in, what do you call them? In hammocks. As you're trying to, like, run past the hammock, it would catch you and spin you around and send you the opposite direction. So every time you hit it, it would... But you could kind of cheat your way on that sometimes. It would kind of fling you. So if you had, like, a small package, you could get... You're trying to beat the time on them and everything. I'm trying to remember... Because a lot of the levels are... a little samey, which is why we got kind of tired of playing it. I guarantee you is why we didn't go back and clean up. And I talked about some of the bigger ones, like the Chase one was probably one of the more epic ones, the Flamethrower Factory, Outer Space. But then you got to do some weird, like, I remember Outer Space where I'm like, I'm getting tired of this. Because you had to do some of those, like lever puzzles where you would like pull it and then it would like rotate the room or rotate the door, and you had to put all your furniture in this, swivel around this way, and then pull the what do you call it, the emergency ejection button, where it, like, open up the door and all your stuff would shoot out into space, and hopefully it all lands in your spaceship, in your space moving van, rather.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I remember playing it and getting real annoyed with the end, because it was just, because you know, it just builds upon itself and builds upon, it does what because there's nothing on the last level that it doesn't prepare you for in small doses throughout the game, but you're just like, this is so much. It doesn't, like, just do, like, some games where, like, on the very last level, like, hey, try to figure this out. It's you've never done before, like, which is a big taboo. Never.
Yes, yeah. Don't introduce a new mechanic at the end of your game.
What game was that did that nonsense?
Lots of games have done it.
One I remember, Shadows Awakening, that really cool Diablo-like. We're in the final boss. They're like, oh yeah, move these boulders onto these symbols whilst fighting the final boss. And I was just like, oh, we beat that game, but cheese and crackers.
We talked about Shadows Awakening on the podcast.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
For long time ago.
Mucho longo time ago. Now, unfortunately, I don't think I have too much to do. I think there was some collectible. Like I said, there were some other things. One of the ones was, like, you got to collect these VHS tapes and do, like, a very minor mission for, like, it was, like, black and white with, like, static VHS tapes, and you would do a memory mission, and it was supposed to give you, like, some flashback on, like, your character and stuff, but it was all silly, and it was like, oh, be a kid and move everything out of your toy house, and or something like that, or it was just super silly, super easy versions of, like, the stuff you were playing, if I'm not mistaken.
You got anything else?
Unfortunately, no. I think this is going to be a very quick episode, but
I was thinking it's kind of short. Episode is, and we don't normally do this, but we'll talk about a different game for a minute, and we won't dedicate a whole episode to it, but we did both. And I'm kind of blindsiding you with this. I'll just because the episode shows short, but we did both Platinum God of War Ragnarok this past week. You want to share a couple of thoughts? Cause we don't normally talk about big AAA stuff, but we do play them, and I don't know, like, in our new format if we'll be doing, because eventually I want to do a Death Stranding episode when you complete Death Stranding. But other than that,
because for us, the new hotness, like Ragnarok and stuff like that,
we do play them.
We do play them, of course, but
not right away. As you can tell, we just now played Ragnarok. It's been out, well,
I think 21,
maybe, but still,
it was like November last year, I thought.
Is maybe it? I don't know when it came out. It doesn't matter. We played it when we got to it, and that's just how it is. We actually we talk about Gamefly quite a bit on here. We actually got the game. Like, Gamefly has coupons that stack up, $5 coupons, and you get these keep coupons that are like 25% off. So I rented God of War, and as soon as they shipped it to me, I hit keep, got 25% off, and then did two coupons, and we got Ragnarok for like $7 or something. We just kept it because it was we'd heard it was longer, and we're glad it wasn't just a Gamefly game we would have had forever, because we both played it for quite a long time. Obviously, whatever it took to get the Platinum,
which for me, I actually have a picture.
Our time, our times were insanely close. I think my time's within a few minutes of yours.
I'm gonna pull it up.
I don't know if we ever talked about it originally, but we did Platinum in the first God of War. We're not big, like, original God of War fans, but we kind of stuck it out. We really enjoyed the 2018 God of War and ended up getting the Platinum for that. So Blake had to help me fight the Valkyrie Queen of that one. It was a freaking nightmare. But we got the Platinum in the first God of War, and then figured we'd eventually attempt it in this one too, which we did.
Yeah, my game time was, according to this, was 51 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, and wasn't mine within a few minutes of yours?
Yeah, I think yours was like 28 or something. Yeah. It was like right below mine, or 38.
Yeah. We got a couple of minutes. I think you want to share a couple of thoughts about God of War Ragnarok?
I very much enjoy...
Very much is strong for me.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Obviously, we wouldn't platinum a game we weren't... Well, that's not true. But no. We wouldn't platinum a game we're not enjoying. We're better about that now, people. We were talking with our cousin about that the other day. About, well, we used to achievement hunt and stuff like that. And we'd play a lot of games we didn't like just to get the score. We used to do that to a lesser extent on PlayStation, but now it's more like, I'm enjoying this, and it's the Platinum is doable.
So let's go ahead and take it.
Let's go ahead and take care of it. So that's where we were on 2018 and Ragnarok.
I think the game looked gorgeous, of course, but it looked exactly like the last one. It didn't.
I don't say they would have hot takes, but like, people have talked about, another reason we don't do AAA games a lot of times because they're all talked to death. But anyway,
Anytime the new hotness comes out, every podcast, every YouTube channel, every Twitch, they're all like, they're playing it, and it's usually,
So we know. Yeah, but that's what normally why I'm anyway.
You talk about some highlights, like things you enjoyed.
Yeah, things we like share whatever kind of thoughts we had about the gender. Oh, you talk about it was the way it was looking. Sorry, that's where we were.
Yeah, graphics.
What's annoying about this game to me? Like, I'm not saying the game looked bad, but this game was obviously held back by having to be cross-developed for PS4 and PS5. Like, this should have been a PS5 showcase for Santa Monica Studio.
Definitely.
And instead, it kind of just looked, to me, just looked like more like, here's 2018, but more.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you get. Granted, there's some things you take advantage of a couple of, like, the faster load times of the PlayStation 5 and stuff like that. You take advantage of that. But, I mean, it looked good, but I think it really, really should have been something to see. And we're not all about graphics, but, like, God of War used to be a graphical showcase. And 2018 looked great for PS4, but this game should... Now, there's, you know, if there's another game, which this it's a franchise is successful, so they can't stop making them, the next one should be entirely PS5 or you know... stronger, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
That's the thought about the way it looks. People know what God of War looks like right now, but it looks good, but I think it could have been really, it should have been really something. Like, people were talking about, like, Forbidden West, Horizon Forbidden West, like, looks great, but also cross-developed, but apparently the DLC for that looks even better because it was kind of more, maybe more PS5 focused, like, things just look better. Like, Ratchet and Clank and Demon's Souls that are both developed solely for the PS5 look like something that couldn't be on the PS4.
Oh, for sure.
And stuff like that. So that's kind of, you know, what I wish God of War. That's kind of what I thought. I forgot about it when we got God of War. When I first started, I was like, oh, this kind of looks just like 2018. So
Then
we looked at it. Or then I was in a Best Buy and I saw a PS4 copy of Ragnarok. I was like, oh, well, that...
That's why. Cross-developed.
Anyway, the main thing me and Blake talked about when we were playing this game, I mean, we were enjoying it. Like, it's got great writing and a lot of fun stuff about it. Ragnarok is a roller coaster of pacing.
Yeah.
I have never, honestly, I mean, we did enjoy this game mostly, but this game has wild pacing issues. Like, this is the most badly paced game I think I've ever probably played in my life, maybe.
Because it's very strange.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, how do you explain it?
Okay, if some people play like this, some people don't. If you, like, say you plow through the story first and then you go back and do a cleanup. I like to do a cleanup, especially if I can.
It kind of pushes you to a little bit to explore while you're playing.
Yeah. Well, it also does one hell of a job of doing loop-de-loops, like running in circles story-wise, is it always brings you back to an old area.
With a new thing.
Yeah, with a new thing, but for the purpose, like, for story purpose. Like, you're coming back here for a reason, but now you're coming back here with some of the new, you know, the Metroidvania nature, where you're coming back with a new arrow type or a new key or a new something.
New something, yeah. They're not arrows or keys, but like a new item of sorts.
No, arrows and keys, because you have the stun arrows and you have the sigil arrows.
The arrows do stuff.
Yeah.
And then they abandon that completely as they move on to the next thing.
Well, sort of. And then you get more arrows and you're like, oh, now we have to do the sigil arrows and do a chain reaction fire explosion or chain reaction ice explosion.
Yeah.
And the good news is, unlike previous, as far as I can tell, like previous God of War entries where like you're stripped of all your powers, come the next one through some, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, some game mechanic, some
like,
random.
Like all the Metroid games where you suddenly bump your head and lose all your abilities.
Yeah. This one, you have everything. You start with your Chaos Blade. You start with your axe. You start with a lot of the tools that you had in the first one. Mm-hmm. And then they just like, okay, you have all that stuff. Now, here's some things you couldn't do because these didn't exist. Now, here's the tool for this and here's the tool, you know, and they add to it. But not like overly so.
Yeah.
Like I said, you get two, Atreus gets two sets of arrows and then you get an extra weapon. I'm not going to spoil that for people who haven't played it. It is a
very cool, very
is a very versatile weapon, as well as very versatile puzzle mechanic and exploratory mechanic. It does open up access to a couple other things. And the game itself, probably my biggest complaint with the pacing and stuff like that is every time you do a story beat, it's like, oh, you can explore the realm you're in, or we can just go back to Sindri's house. Your choice. It leaves it up to you if you want to just plow the story, do some exploring. And sometimes that does lead to weird pacing because you're exploring everything. You're like, I just spent 4 hours running around this realm to get all the everything I can literally get in the realm without having access to this, you know, this new tool, new item. And in the back of your head, there's this inkling feeling, this feeling, because at certain points, unlike the first game, this is a slight spoiler, but not really. At certain points in the game, you actually get additional companions. Mm-hmm. You don't always have Atreus with you. He's actually, because it does a pretty good job of showing character growth and development. So Atreus actually goes on his own little adventures. And you do get to play as him solo.
Yeah, it's a little bit spoiler.
But you don't know what for and why. Yeah. And I think that's really cool. It's, you know, character growth. He gets to, you know, I'm guarantee before too long he'll have his own game. Whether it be a mainline or something.
DLC. They always say they're not going to do DLC for these games, but they haven't yet, which is fine.
I'm cool with. I'm perfectly fine with. Yeah. Give me the full game. If I'm spending $7 on a game, I want the full game.
$7.
But like, because he's doing that and you get these other characters, but it's good and because it gives them access to the same tools that Atreus has. Actually, I think the character you get teaches Atreus how to use an arrow, and then when you meet back up, Atreus teaches that character how to use his arrow type, and so they kind of it bleeds back together. So
and you get a lot of the different stories and stuff like that. People talking with different people because you have
different interactions with same characters.
You always have Mimir with you. Mm-hmm. But he tells different and talks differently, has different stories depending on which companion's with you. That is one of the better things about this game that people really loved about the first game is the dialogue's on point, and the voice acting obviously is
the acting is phenomenal.
It's awesome. Yeah, we talked when we were playing. Christopher Judge's performance of Kratos is maybe a little too.
Well, some of the takes were really good.
Yeah. Sometimes he's just too gravelly, and I understand that's kind of the character, but he's like quote unquote softening up a little bit around Atreus, even still throughout this game, which is he's softening up more, I guess. But like sometimes he says some lines that are like he's super gravelly when everybody else is talking normally.
Yeah.
But Christopher Judge also does normal Kratos talking lines, and it's like why not just talk normal unless you're mad.
It depends. I do know of randomly just like outside looking in the real world that some of his audio and stuff, it took a lot longer for the game to come out because he had gotten sick, and maybe some of the really growly stuff was like affecting his vocal cords. Either he had gotten sick or was coming back from,
yeah, it's possible,
you know, yeah, having lost his voice and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
that could be. I mean, people might just like Kratos being
gravelly,
you know, growly and gravelly, and kind of grumpy all the time.
Oh, it's almost a death metal singer. It's deep and down here. No, I can't even do it. I'm not flimmy enough, because you got to be flimmy and have some.
Yeah, to be good. He's also a professional.
Oh yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Christopher Judge? Good old Teal'c. Well, like I said, I went on a whole tangent until I explained that you have the different companions. Is you have this thought in the back of your head, which you people explored and did some random stuff in, you know, the previous God of Wars 1, 2, and 3, Ascension, and Ghost of Sparta, and Chains of Olympus. Like, you ran around and did things. But then the open world aspect in God of War 2018?
Mm-hmm.
God of War 2018, you had Atreus with you. You had your son. And so he was constantly asking questions. Like, oh, he kind of would, like, pull you in directions.
And push you to help.
Or, hey, let's go over here and explore. Fine, boy. And you would go, you know, to appease your son. When he's not with you for the, you know, sporadically throughout the game, it feels weird to be exploring, because I don't think Kratos would do this of his own free will. Me as being the puppeteer, controlling him, making him do these things, it just felt weird making him do these things for...
Without Atreus, yeah.
Yeah, like your other companion, they're not against it, and some of the stuff that you're doing actually is kind of for them.
Yeah, they'll have their own little side quests. There's a whole section of side quests that are specifically for that character in certain areas. I wonder if stuff changes, because the game's pretty good about... I don't know how they develop it with the dialogue, but like, what if you just didn't do none of the exploring with the other character and you just come back at the end of the game with Atreus for everything? Well, sort of. So does all the dialogue that was written for that character just never happen, or does Atreus have his own dialogue written for those same interactions and stuff like that? Does the side quest for that character not pop up at all if they're not with you, you know? It's kind of, I wonder how it's developed. I played it as like, because I went to an area, I did all I could do.
Yeah, then I could.
You probably played
the for the most kind of part.
You let some stuff slide, but I was kind of really adamant about doing everything I can do. And the game's somewhat clear about what you can and can't do.
For the most part, yeah.
What it does need is better fast travel spots or something. There's a lot of... We could have cut some hours off this game by not having to run to places or boat to places. There's more boating, of course. People love the boat in the first game. There's a lot more boat in this game.
For some reason, I think you and I both spoke about this too, is...
The boat feels weird in this game.
The boat felt really weird.
Yeah.
Like, it was smooth as all heck in 2018 version. Like, I don't remember having a single complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, I remember getting kind of frustrated at times. I was like, why is this boat acting so weird?
Yeah, it was kind of annoying.
And I had moments, maybe it's just like a weird... But when Kratos canoes, because it's a canoe, it's not a boat, it's a canoe. As he travels down, he does what you're supposed to do. You row on one side, row on the other. Row on one side, row on the other. And that's how you move forward instead of spinning in circles. And I'd get to certain moments where he's rowing, but only on one side, but we're moving straight. And I was like, this feels weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I know, maybe some like weird glitches.
I had a hard time like turning and backing up and stuff like that. It was very way too complicated. Even late game, I was like, I don't understand this mechanic or why it works this way. I don't get. But I would just fix myself and move on. But there's a lot of boating. They make a point of. I don't know why there's so much boating in all the realms.
It's just to explore everything and see everything and have. Because
every realm has, well, not every realm, but a lot of the realms have, like, there's a reason to boat.
I guess they realize they overused the boating.
Overboated?
Because due to the events of the first game, you've activated something called Fimble Winter across all the realms. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's snowing and blizzarding in every realm, but they are on a decline. And two of them, in particular, instead of having a boat in Midgard, which is now frozen over, you have a snow sled and some wolves that Atreus has trained from pups, and they drag your sled across Midgard. And in Alfheim,
yeah.
You have... That one didn't make any sense. You just have these dogs that run up attached to a sled, and you're like, oh... I guess these guys are trained to run on sand sleds. And you just ride them so you get the little suspension of disbelief there. And you just take these trained dogs and you... And it basically acts as the same thing. The mechanics are slightly annoying to control.
Yeah.
I did find it fun drifting. Do you remember?
There's no real point to the mechanic.
But you could drift. But they just like in the boat, you would hit little boxes in the river to get items. Now you hit like little urns and stuff out in the desert, little skulls, and you shatter them. Basically, every collectible that was also in the first game is in here too. You have the crows and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it, but I feel like, and I'm not gonna do any story spoilers. But I told Bake multiple times throughout the game. Now, sort of, it ended differently than I would thought. But like, there's lots of points throughout this game which I enjoyed that I would be doing something and I didn't know what was gonna happen next.
Yeah, true.
You know, I would always be like, there'd be conversations, and I'd be like, I don't know where this is going. I don't remember it being like that in 2018. Like, they would have these conversations and have these problems. And a lot of video games are very predictable.
Yeah.
You know?
This is going to happen because this happened. Like, you can see...
Well, Kratos keeps... I guess he's trying to change or trying to be better. There's this whole theme of trying to be better in this game, trying not to... Because he's a god of war. I mean, he's trying not to just be a killing machine. It's kind of like this whole thing. But, like, I'm going to say that... There are great story points. There's a lot of stuff in this game that kind of just go... I don't know how to transfer on the podcast. I told Blake a lot of things in this game. You get kind of building up to him, you get to him, and you just go... and everything, something just ends with no fanfare. And you're just like... Why did I do all this? There's small story things that you think should be bigger. Now, granted, we're not the writers of the game, so what do we know? But like, I'm sure they did these certain things the way they did them on purpose and stuff like that. There's just so many different little things, but there's things that do pan out, and there's things that just lead nowhere sometimes, and you're just kind of like, are we going to the next game? Like, there's a bunch of stuff like by that. So there's like, oh, God. Our new format will be full of spoilers. I'm trying not to do it on this one, but like, there's stuff that happens at the end of the first game that's not resolved in this game, and I'm just like, just played 50 freaking hours, and you're not going to give me anything for this. Like, it's crazy. But there's so much, you get annoyed at that, but then there's so many great conversations.
Yeah.
And so many great. There's one massive payoff.
Oh yeah.
Probably the biggest payoff I've ever seen. One of the biggest payoffs I've ever seen in writing in a video game. You know what I'm talking about. I can't spoil it. I can't even describe the moment.
No.
But it's an ongoing conversation for quite a while, and then to a point where you somewhat forget about it, and then they slap you across the face with the payoff, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
that, it's like a multi-layered. It's like, where was this? I mean, the writing is good throughout, but like, now granted, this payoff and the layeredness of this particular thing is complicated and layered and multiple meanings and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
You can't write like that all the time. You'd be freaking exhausted. You'd kill yourself. But like, the payoff for something, it's something that's a joke, okay?
Yeah.
Now, there's lots of jokes. I'm not going to spoil you. There's lots of jokes throughout the game. There's something that's a joke. And then they slap you across the face with real life all of a sudden. Based off that joke, they completely turn the joke on its head and, like, knock you out of your freaking seat. Now, when it happened, I just stopped. I was like, holy crap. That was incredible.
I know exactly, yeah.
You know the moment, too. And it was like, I cannot... That they should receive. I don't, there's not an award you can receive for like perfect gaming moment. That should be like.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's
something.
There
you would think there would be, but try to get on a stage or like in a Zoom call, wherever awards are done now. Try to explain that moment. I can't do it now. Cause I'm trying to explore. Try to explain the setup and the resolution of that moment to try to give somebody a reward for that moment. Yeah. It's just like. It was my literally when I watched it happen. I think Blake had already done it.
Yeah,
you'd already done it.
I had done it. I didn't want to say anything to you.
I paused my game and walked into Blake, and I was like, the best moment in the game just happened. Literally, and you're like, oh yeah, I know.
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, I was like, literally the best, and you can miss it.
Yeah, it's funny. You
it's
can,
side. Actually. It's a side thing. Well, yeah. You can flat out just not even do it, and they hit it. They kind of hit it in a side thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like,
yeah.
I just like I know we're talking of a big moment. If you've played the game, hopefully you're thinking of the same. It's just I'm not I can't spoil anything. If you do anything to say it, then if you're waiting for it to happen, it'll ruin the moment.
Yeah.
But that's my absolute favorite moment of both, like both games put together. Like that, there's like that writing moment is incredible. That one's just smart and clever and awesome. Then I love Kratos's line. Somebody's asking, are you not afraid of death?
Oh yeah.
What's Kratos's line?
He's like,
are you not afraid of death, Kratos?
They got on a talk of death, and because all of Kratos's homeland is wiped out. He's the last of his pantheon, and they're talking about death because he's like, I don't want to be what I was. I don't want to be the god of a god of death. I don't want to keep killing. He's like, what if someone comes for you? What if death comes for you? And
I think because
Kratos is like, I'm not afraid of death.
No, he said, death can have me when he's earned it.
Yeah. Death can have you when he's earned me.
Yeah. It's like, nice.
That's a fantastic
line. He has a lot of fun lines like that, kind of just like Kratos is, I like Kratos because he's in this thing, because he's
multifaceted.
Cocky without being cocky.
He's like
his line sounds cocky, but it's not cocky to him. He's just speaking truth. Yeah. Like how else would you word that? Like his line sounds cocky, but his delivery in his head, he's not like, oh, I'm Kratos, I'm big and strong. That never comes across with Kratos.
I'm about to make a comparison that I don't know if anyone's ever made. but I, with a level of assuredness in their ability, confidence in their, but not overconfidence, not this, but they are 100% aware of what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Kratos and Kiryu.
Not Kiryu.
The dragon of Dojima.
Yeah, that's why that's not a bad comparison, because Kiryu is the same way. Kiryu says...
Never seeks out a fight, but he will end anything that comes
in. But Kiryu will say lines... Kiryu's never being cocky.
Mm-mm.
Like even Majima will be cocky. Everybody around Kiryu will be cocky. Kiryu just says what he says. It's a cocky line, but not presented cocky. He's telling you what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's what's about to happen.
Like outside
look. That's a great comparison.
Outside looking in, you're like, what are you going to do, old man? He's like, I'm going to end this fight.
Yeah.
And he's like, one way or another, you're going to tell me what I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
But his delivery, like, even in Japanese, the Japanese delivery, it's never boisterous.
It's never winky or like, hey, nudge.
Yeah, that's a great comparison.
And Kratos is that same way. He is... There's a moment, I'm not going to tell you what exactly how, there's a pretty, it's supposed to be epic, but I'll go ahead and say this. We got the platinum in the game, but we did play on easy and had quite a few of the accessibility features on. Okay. Sue me, I don't care. I beat the game and I loved it. I had a blast.
Yeah. Well, I didn't love it, I liked it.
I'll play
the next game.
Definitely. Anyway, so I liked it enough.
Say your point.
But there's a part that it's a build up to a rather epic fight. I'm not going to say who the boss fight is or anything, but it's a build up because they've been building up to this moment for a little bit.
Oh, I think what you're talking about, like you even go on a quest to get an item to help you fight the fight.
And when you fight this character has the ability to, I don't necessarily know.
Anyway, the fight should be impossible.
Yeah, the fight honestly should be impossible, but not for a moment does Kratos ever stress, because this character can, I don't know if they're kind of like, they like read minds, or they read intentions, yeah. They kind of get a vibe off you.
You might be saying too much, but.
No, they get a vibe off you, and he keeps, during the fight.
He's cocky.
Yeah, that character is super cocky, because I don't think he's ever lost a fight, but he keeps yelling at Kratos, because as the fight goes on, Kratos stays stoic. Just stays Kratos the whole time, just quiet. He's like, I'm going to end you. He's not even saying that. Kratos honestly doesn't even want the fight, frankly. And the dude comes at him, and the whole time the dude's getting angrier and angrier and sloppier and sloppier. He's even yelling at Kratos for being stupid and not having a thought in his head, not being, you know, being empty-headed. And I'm like, because Kratos, it's all instinct for Kratos. Kratos he's not like a master strategist mm-hmm. who's like, if I do this, I'll do this. And he's like, I'm going to go in this fight. And
I'm just gonna end it real quick.
For Kratos, it reminds me of a quote from the show Angel, mm-hmm. where they're like, "What's the plan, Angel?" And he goes, "We're gonna run in there and start hitting people hard in the face. What's the part two? We'll figure it out when we get there." And Kratos' plan is just to go in and hit you hard in the face, and that's it.
Yeah, I told Blake that particular fight is interesting. It's something that's built up to, and then it's over really fast. And I wonder if is a way on. Purpose, because it's a represent that fight is a representation of both those character types. Mm-hmm. So if there's more layers to it than that, we might be overthinking a fight where you beat the hell out of somebody. But like to a certain point, I was telling Blake, when you're fighting that fight, I feel like Kratos is cool headed the whole time, and also Kratos, I think, would have won that fight without the special item.
Yeah, without the tool.
The way he handles this guy, I think he would have handled. I was like, Kratos would have won this fight anyway.
Eventually, yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because everybody around Kratos told him that how dangerous this person was and what Kratos needed to handle this guy. When it got down to it, when nobody was there, it was just him and him. Kratos just kind of just handled it. In the fight, you can use the item and stuff, like you can use all the stuff.
You kind of have to in the first
but
part.
But like a lot of the results of that fight and how it ends and stuff like that, it's just like, I don't think he needed this.
No.
Anyway, it's turning into the God of War podcast, yeah. but I just wanted to share it because that episode was short and I wanted to share some of our thoughts on it. So maybe we will do more bigger games like Ragnarok in the future and stuff like that. We can do a whole podcast on Ragnarok. We probably could have, but
I'm okay like letting it slip by right now because it's also so close. I definitely don't want to risk spoiling because the story beats that are good are really,
really good.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cool stuff in there.
And this is something I mentioned earlier.
This is a great way to get people away from the Marvel aesthetic of what these people should be. Odin and Thor and all of them and stuff like that. Oh, yeah.
And the jokey jokes.
Heimdall and all these, who else is it? Sif and all this is them. Like, this will get you away from everybody thinking that the Asgardians are only what Marvel says they are.
No, this still takes its liberties.
Well, yeah, but none of these representations are anything like the ones you see in Marvel.
Oh no,
like I'm glad they weren't like, oh, let's make these kind of like Marvel, so our game will sell better. They didn't care nothing about that.
No, if anything, they gave them more complexity and stuff like that.
A lot more complexity. Yeah, all of them are layered and complicated.
Yeah, because going through, okay, this might be a spoiler for God of War 2018, but there's been enough time that I think you've probably beat that. Is one of the bigger things you have to deal with, and you handle it pretty quickly in 2018 version, is you kill two of Thor's sons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to deal with the repercussions of that in this game, in Ragnarok. But you actually have a conversation or two with Thor, and he's like he should be more angry than he is, but he's just like, my sons were worthless.
I guess we won't say too much about all that, how his reactions are.
Yeah, but it's just
the last thing I'll say about it.
A lot more depth and complexity to the characters than you think they are.
Yeah.
And it's really it's really good.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about it is that Ragnarok itself is disappointing. So a really cool build up to like where you are when you're getting it like set up and stuff like that. And like the setup for it is way more interesting than what it delivers.
Yeah.
So sorry if that's a spoiler. Maybe kind of sets, because the game called Ragnarok, you're waiting the whole game for the Ragnarok thing to happen, and what it kind of, I mean, it's not a spoiler to say. I thought, oh, I would for a minute the game, this is maybe a bit spoiler, maybe a bit not, the game's freaking called Ragnarok. At some points in the game, it makes you question, is Ragnarok going to happen? But I don't think they're brave. I don't think anybody's going to call a game Ragnarok and not have Ragnarok in the thing. It's like having Thor Ragnarok movie and then not have Ragnarok happen. It happens. So Ragnarok happens, quote unquote. It's an event. Person, it's a thing, it's a whole thing. The setup for it is so much more interesting than what happens.
Than with the actual happening
of it. There's a lot of that. I think that's a lot of the thing I'm talking about. A lot of the letdowns is like the build up and the building up. Maybe they do that too much. Maybe they build up something and being important so much, and then the delivery. It's hard to like. We say it like in video games a lot. It's hard to end things, like the journey before the destination. The destination usually sucks.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it, but there's a lot of this in this game. There's a lot of lore, a lot of cool characters, a lot of things that build up and then come to nothing,
mm-hmm.
or just really low, like really low results. You're just like, I guess that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
It just kind of smolders out.
I guess there's.
And because I also think maybe because of the game's split focus, is there's a couple of moments that happen, but you just see it happen in like the background or the mm-hmm. distance, or you see the aftermath of said event
mm-hmm.
that I feel like, which I guess because it's Kratos' story. So the camera never leaves Kratos.
Except when you play as Atreus.
Yeah. But like that's the whole style they have. It's like almost like the game's filmed as a one-shot movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some epic-ass things that happen in the background that I kind of like wish, like, I'm like, I kind of want to see what happened over there. Like, I could see it happening, and, you know, but it's Kratos' story, so I do see why they did that. But I will, with no doubt in my mind, I will play whatever third one they put out.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called.
I don't know where you go. Like, Ragnarok seems like something that should be the third game.
Mm-hmm. But it definitely leads to more. Spoiler alert on that one. There's more coming. But
franchise is too successful. So that's our little surprise half hour on God of War Ragnarok. I just thought it's something we enjoyed. We put a lot of time into, and this episode was looking kind of short. People might be like, man, these first two games sound like crap, and these guys don't care, and this podcast sucks. Yeah. We get it. We know.
Yeah, but God of War was, if you ain't played it yet, go ahead and play it. One of the cool things they do is I realized that they must have realized that people who played God of War 2018 had never touched the other previous God of Wars. Like, mm-hmm. This was some of the people's first experience. Cause some of the people who...
We've played everything but God of War 3.
Yeah, we somehow have a blind spot.
We have our blind spot in the franchise is literally God of War 3.
We just haven't... We just never got around to playing it for some reason.
Yeah.
But, because it does... Because it's also trying to... Because I remember when the creator... Was it David Jaffe?
David Jaffe. Original creator.
Yeah. The original creator, when he made... At the end of God of War 3, talked about it...
I'm not sure if Jaffe was around for 3.
I don't know. Anyway, he said... I swear it was the creator, maybe Jaffe, said that he didn't like how Kratos ended up. He's a character that you probably shouldn't like. He's just an a-hole. He's just a jerk. And so they're like, let's make God of War Ascension, which is a prequel to everything to make you kind of like him more. Even by the end of that one, you're just kind of like, Kratos is kind of a jerk. He just does whatever he needs to do to get whatever he needs. Killing folk didn't matter. Ripping wings off, shoving poor King Midas down to a pit of lava. You know, just does all sorts of stuff. And then 2018 version, you're like, oh, you actually get to see a different side of Kratos.
Still kind of mean.
He's still kind of mean, but you get to see a different side of Kratos. And also, if you know anything about like his... Not necessarily his upbringing, but if you know about Spartan upbringing and the reason he's so distant with his son, and they kind of dip more into that as a human, as a person in Ragnarok, where you get to a little bit of backstory, and because you're riding around with, again, like I said, I'm not going to spoil who your companion is, but you're riding around with you have Mimir as always, constant dialogue in the background. But he'll ask questions because you have this new companion who doesn't really know much about Kratos, and Mimir will tell them stories, and they're like, "That's not because."
When he tells some stories about Kratos, stories he's heard about Kratos.
Yeah, he'll tell like, yeah. He's like, "Is it true, Kratos, that you once fought the Fates in your land and
traveled back in time?"
And Kratos is like, "That's all true." And they're like, "That is the most." And their companion's like, "That is the most irresponsible thing I've ever heard. You lost a fight, went back in time to win the fight to change the outcome." He's like, "Yes." What?
Yeah,
and then, but they do dip into previous things, like about, because people who played 2018 don't know Kratos' origins about his wife, and he had another wife.
2018, kind of like how like Ragnarok has, there's a video on the front end. You can click on the video. Yeah. You get like a couple of minute synopsis of Kratos' story in 2018. You can actually click that video and watch. That's the most you get.
Yeah, but like there's so much stuff that you get from Ascension. You get from, because they mentioned, I think Ghost of Sparta, you mentioned Deimos, which is Kratos' brother. Mm-hmm. And they actually bring up Deimos's story. And then they bring up Kratos' first wife and his daughter Calliope. Like, they, you know, just little hints and stuff about how, and it's pretty cool. It's also pretty cool, I guess, also in the gamer design perspective, that like, because people will be like, because they drop hints. There's like, here's this cool little scenario of a character named Deimos, who is Kratos' brother. Oh, Kratos had a wife and a child before this last wife and this kid now? What? And it's also, I guess it's a way to also pique interest to have people go back. Because there's, I think on the PS3 or whatever, they may have put it on the early PS4, but there's that God of War collection.
It's on PS3.
It's on PS3.
We gameflied it back in the day.
It's got 1, 2, 3, and it's got Ghost of Sparta and
Chains. I think it's just 1 and 2 and then the two PSP games.
Oh, okay.
3 was always separate.
That's probably why we never beat 3, because we rented that multiple times.
Yeah, we would rent that collection, play a game, send it back, play some other stuff, rent that collection again to play the next game.
Yeah.
That's how we got through 1, 2, and then Ghost of Sparta and Chains of Olympus.
Yeah, because I will say, because looking at my trophies... 2018 and Ragnarok, I got the platinum on. Mm-hmm. And for every God of War up to this point, I did increasingly better on the achievements, the trophies.
They made them easier or something like that.
Yeah.
No, the earlier God of Wars always had difficulty trophies, though.
Oh, yeah. I feel good.
Yeah. We kind of talked about two games we didn't care for all that much. And then I made a split decision to extend the podcast a bit by talking about a game we've played recently.
Which is fine,
I guess. Because
it keeps us from having to doing a new hotness one, because it's...
Yeah, we could probably put a whole episode. Obviously, you can put a whole episode in God of War, but then we'll be saying a bunch of stuff that you've heard on
that people have already
said. Even maybe the stuff we said now is on 1,000 other podcasts. But
I think the only thing I said that no one has ever said is comparing Kratos to Kiryu. That's all I'm gonna say.
Pretty cool comparison.
You ready to wrap up?
Yeah, I guess we'll wrap things up here. So here you go, with a little surprise Ragnarok talk and more editing time for Brian. He'll appreciate that. I will wrap up here by thanking Jared Jones and the guys of Emerge for our opening song, of course, Letting Go. We really appreciate that. And I always say it's probably the best part of the podcast. It always will be, probably, no matter how much we try to make the podcast better. I want to thank Devious Pixel, a.k.a. Mladen Markovic, for the art for this podcast. We'll have some new art around episode 100 and stuff like that. We'll be doing that. And I want to get everybody to come to our Twitch streams. We're trying to get more people to come to those, and then it adds to the episodes themselves that we do with Brian after we complete or sort of complete each game. We're getting into a territory of, there's a mixed bag of games we do complete and games that we don't get any. Like our last episode was a game we beat and a game we quit. There's going to be some more games we beat and another game we quit. It's just how we get tired of playing a certain game coming up in the future. I don't know which episode's next. I'd have to dig. But not the point. Anyway, come to our streams and hang out and come a part of it and talk to us. I mean, you come to the streams and talk about the podcast or talk about what you're playing or talk about what we're playing. We'd like to have some community interaction. We've got listeners, so we'd like to get them involved and, you know, tell us some games that you like. Tell us some games you'd like for us to maybe play on the stream. We could probably even... We try to do multiplayer streams. There's something specific we've talked about doing. I keep saying it, but it'd be so much work. I keep wanting to do a No Man's Sky permadeath runs.
Mm-hmm.
See how far I can get on permadeath on a stream. I've thought about it. If anybody has any interest in that, write in and tell me. If people show some interest, I'll set it up. We got a camera and all that stuff on the stream, yeah. So we got it all set up to do that. I've been trying to get Blake to do Magic the Gathering streams to let people who listen to the podcast just come into come talk to him and play Magic with him.
Yeah,
and Blake loves playing Magic. I mean, I like Magic too, but Blake loves Magic the Gathering. He'll play with listeners.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah,
as long as you're not crazy, we'll let you. You can come into a party and be a part of the stream. As long as you're not nutso.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all I have, and I'll let Blake. He's changing his wrap up too. A lot of the stuff, weird things here on the end, you're going to see that we're trying to, as we transfer into our new... I hate saying new format, because the podcast is going to be fairly similar. But that's all I got. So thanks for listening. Come to our streams, twitch.tv/2smokingcontrollers. Come hang out with us. We do try to stream at least once a week. We might
We try to aim usually for Wednesday nights.
I mean, sort of.
Between Tuesday and Wednesday nights, depending on...
everybody's stuff they got going on. So anyway, come to those. We really appreciate it. That's all I got.
My end, just to, thank you for, to everyone that Drew said, Jared and Devious and Maladin, same person, and Brian for editing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Brian.
And then for me, this is just a slight little bit of cross-promotion, is I do have a short story that I've published, self-published through Amazon Kindle. It's free if you have Kindle Unlimited. It's just $1 otherwise. It's called They Come This Night. Please rate and review that, just, because I need love and attention constantly to know that I'm alive. And then we have a brother podcast called Action, the Movie Podcast, where it's myself and our buddy Steve, and we do deep dives. We take turns trying to surprise one another with movies, and then we deep dive into it right there. We don't discuss it anytime before, so we don't, our opinions doesn't influence the other. Mm-hmm. And we have fun. I think this most recent one, we actually hit a 10th episode, episode 30, and we did a producer pick. So Drew got to, he live on the episode 29, he did it.
Yeah.
He spun a movie wheel, and he landed on a movie called The Final Cut.
Which we haven't recorded that episode yet.
But we will be.
Yeah. So come listen to that. I'll say on top of Blake, come listen to that podcast as well. It's much longer. Kind of make sure you like movies, because Blake and Steve go deep into like the makers and the actors, and then they really go deep into, sometimes depending on the movie, if movie's a heavy dialogue then it depends, but if there's like a lot of stuff behind the scenes or how it comes to make a movie, they get really, there's like cool, lots of techniques and things, like you gotta really like a movie. So it's a good podcast for folks who really like movies and like really know what it takes to make a movie sometimes. So come to that, and I talk a little bit on that one, but I mostly just kind of just record and produce it and edit that one myself. So that's why we try to do listener picks every 10 episodes, but we've had 2 listener picks, and then I picked one just for the hell of it. Anyway,
with that being said, I'm good with everything else, and I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night. To all things housed in her silence, nature offers a violence. The bear that keeps to his own line, the wolf that seeks always its own kind, the world that hardens as the harsher winter holds, the parent forced to eat its young before it grows, every bird gone unheard, starving where the ground is froze, the winter sunrise red on white like blood upon the snow, like blood upon the snow. Kept my warm
to